You're listening to Central Time. I'm Judith Sears Poisson. President Trump is poised to sign an agreement that would provide funding for southern border security and avert another partial government shutdown like the one we saw in January. The agreement reached by congressional lawmakers comes ahead of tomorrow's deadline and was passed by the Senate this afternoon. Representative Brian Steil joins us now to talk about the border negotiations and more. Steil is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, which includes Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. Representative Steil, welcome back to Central Time.
Thanks for having me on.
Thanks for joining us. So can you briefly tell us what is in this new agreement?
Man, it's a lot going on in this agreement. We got about 1,200 pages late last night that we need to be voting on. This afternoon, early this evening. And so it's a frustrating process to how we got here in the first place. But fair enough, that's where we're at. We've made some progress on funding our border security needs. And so we're not all the way to President Trump's request, $5.7 billion, but we're a long way off the $0 approach that Nancy Pelosi was at. And so the compromise number is going to be about $1.3 billion for a permanent structure at the southern border, which I think is a step in the right direction. It's not as far as I would like to go, but that's a bit of the nature of compromise. And so what we're going to have is a bill that now passed the Senate. It's going to come to the House tonight. It prevents the shutdown. It moves us forward. It's not everything that I would like to see in it, but it's definitely a step forward in the right direction and prevents us from going into the kind of the catastrophic shutdown mode that we were in when I first arrived in Congress.
As you said, there's a lot going on and a lot of pieces to kind of get a handle on. What I was seeing is that the amount that is in this deal that goes directly to border security is very similar to the amount that was proposed in the beginning of December that the president rejected. Is there a significant difference in this agreement that makes it more palatable?
Well, I arrived on the scene starting January 3rd, and so the previous negotiations that were taking place before my tenure, starting January 3rd when I arrived, I think where we're at is a respectable spot. We're going to get enhanced border security. We're moving the ball forward on that piece. I would like to see us go further, but we're going to get that opportunity again as we go through the next appropriations process. And hopefully we have a much better process, a more thoughtful approach, and end up with a much better product next time.
Do you feel like the negotiations between your GOP colleagues and the Democrats were in good faith on both sides in this current phase of negotiations?
I think in the most recent phase, it sounds like people finally came to the table and had a conversation. And so what I argued from the beginning is what we need to do is have more of a conversation, figure out how we're going to solve this thing and get it done. And so the first 35 days, where the government was shut down, often the two sides weren't even talking. My first speech on the House floor was exactly that. Let's all get locked in a room, 435 members of the House, 100 members of the Senate, the president, take our cell phones away, and let's work on this problem until we have a solution. And so my approach is maybe a little bit more of a private sector approach. I spent the last 10 years working in the manufacturing sector in Wisconsin and near my hometown of Janesville. I think we need to have more of a conversation. Let's get things done. Let's reach solutions that moves the ball forward. It's not going to be perfect for everyone. This bill, not perfect for everyone, but definitely a step in the right direction.
We're talking with Brian Steil right now. He is a member of Congress representing Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, which includes Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. And Representative Steil, today on the Senate floor, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell said that the president had indicated that he is seeking other ways to fund the wall.
I've just had an opportunity to speak with President Trump, and he, I would say to all my colleagues, has indicated he's prepared to sign the bill. He will also be issuing a national emergency declaration at the same time. And I've indicated to him that I'm going to support the national emergency declaration.
So Representative Steil, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell says that he is supporting the signing and the concurrent national emergency declaration. What is your stance on that decision?
I'm a bit more of a constitutional conservative. I would like to see the power of the purse strings remain in Congress, remain as close to the people as possible, and force Congress to vote on these things. I don't, prioritizing funding on the southern border and securing our border, I think, is critical. But getting into a situation where the president's declaring emergencies makes me concerned. I want to see the language that the president's going to use, where the funding sources are. But ultimately, I'm a bit of a constitutional conservative, and I'd like to see the House of Representatives and the Senate be the decision makers to where we're spending our funds.
You just said that you'd like to know where the money's coming from, and President Trump has said on many occasions that there's money available. He has money he can move around. Do you, as a member of Congress, as a member of the president's party, have a sense of where he would be pulling that money from?
Well, there's a handful of spots where the president does have some levels of authority to move money inside priority areas. But until the president were to actually identify which funds he's proposing to use, it's hard to comment because you're in a bit in the abstract. And so, you know, until we see what the president's determination is, and he hasn't shared that publicly, I know he had a private conversation with the Senate Majority Leader. I'm not privy to the details of that. I want to see where we're talking about pulling the funds before I'd make a determination if that's an appropriate use of executive authority.
It does sound like a new partial government shutdown will be averted if the president signs his deal before the deadline, whether or not it comes with the National Emergency Declaration. We spoke with your colleague, Democratic Representative Ron Kind from Wisconsin's 3rd Congressional District last week, and he said no one in Congress wants to see another shutdown. And he also said that if it did happen, and again, that the blame would squarely be on President Trump. What do you think, if we ended up in that position again, who's to blame?
I mean, we're probably all to blame. We shouldn't go back into a shutdown. And the finger pointing that is the parlor game of Washington, D.C. doesn't help us. And so pox on all of our house if we can't figure out how to fund the government. If you were working in a business and you shut the business down because people couldn't figure out a solution, you should all be tossed out. And so that's a little bit of my approach. That's why, in part, I went and introduced a piece of legislation that would end all government shutdowns going forward. It would put in place a continuing resolution, kind of like the state of Wisconsin, where we don't shut the state government down if we can't reach a budget. We just fund it at a continuous level. I've introduced that legislation. Democrats and Republicans are on board. And it would finally be a proactive approach to prevent future government shutdowns. I'd like to see some proactive thoughtfulness once we get to the other side of this spending bill.
Representative Stile, this is your first month in Congress that you're finishing up. It's been quite a month, I think, for everyone. What's your takeaway been so far?
You know, you're probably twofold. One, there's a lot of dysfunction in Washington. I think we need to have more of a conversation with our colleagues. We're not always going to agree on everything, but we might walk away learning a little bit from each and every one of us. I held 6 listening sessions across Southeast Wisconsin, one in each of the 6 counties of the 1st Congressional District. And I did that because I think, you know, there needs to be a little more conversation, a Wisconsin-style approach. And I think we'd all walk away learning a little bit from each other rather than what goes on in Washington, which is this constant finger-pointing and is unproductive. The other side of what you learn in Washington, though, is there is some opportunities here. I walked off the floor of the Capitol after my first day in Washington a little before 10 p.m., and you come down the steps of our nation's capital, and you look back up, and you see the rotunda, and you see the Capitol lit up in lights, and you think of the great history of the United States. We've survived challenging times before. We're in them now. We need to stay focused and continue to move forward because we have the most spectacular country in the entire world, and there's great opportunity in front of us as well.
Well, Representative Stile, thanks so much for joining us today and for taking the time from your busy schedule.
Thanks so much. I appreciate you having me on.
Representative Brian Stile is a Republican representing Wisconsin's 1st Congressional District, which includes Janesville, Racine, and Kenosha. He joined us today to talk about the border deal and his first month in Congress. Again, we spoke with Ron Kind last week.